This is the Championship Rounds with your host, Matthew Amayo.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to say we've done it. We've reached 20 episodes. First off, just want to thank those who have reached out to me, past and present, who encouraged me to still continue to do this podcast. We've come a long way since episode one of the Championship Rounds that didn't have any intro music. Production wasn't quite there. I feel like it's a little bit more polished now, and I've improved as a podcaster. And I just want to thank you guys for 20 episodes. And there's going to be more to come. There's plenty more to come as far as the Championship Rounds is concerned. Thanks for those who've been tuning in for the last 20 episodes. Those loyal listeners who have, for those who tuned into last Saturday's episode with me and my brother Mark breaking down Deontay Wilder, and Tyson Fury, which we will touch on again this episode. I feel like it's still fresh in everybody's mind that it has to be addressed. But once again, if you need to know where to find the Championship Rounds, to continue from this point forward, go right ahead. It's going to be on Apple Podcasts, and it's going to be on Spotify. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts if you like what you hear. Be sure to hit the download button on Spotify and give us a follow and even write a review on Apple Podcasts app. Also, Pocket Casts. We're available on Pocket Casts as well, who is one of my sponsors. So feel free to download Pocket Casts as well if for some reason you do not have access to Apple Podcasts or Spotify. But once again, episode 20, we done did it. Talked about everything from MMA to boxing, done some interviews, had some guests along the way, and hopefully those returning guests can come back for another episode of the Championship Rounds, and I hope to have future new guests to come on the show and talk fights with me. But I appreciate your guys' support. Extend my gratitude to those who've encouraged me along the way from episode 1 all the way up to episode 20. But I wanted to do this quick turnaround. I know it's kind of a rare that I do like a couple of days in between each episode, but I felt like I needed to break down some things that happened this past weekend, as well as preview stuff that's going on this weekend as well. So let's get right into it. Let's dive right into it. So Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury took over the entire weekend, but don't let that fool you from everything that took place outside of it, because trust me, there is plenty that did take place outside of Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury in the world of MMA and boxing. One thing I want to go ahead and touch on first to kick things off is Adonis Stevenson, who fought last Saturday, also on Showtime. Wasn't on pay-per-view, but was on Showtime, actually. Lost the light heavyweight world title to Alexander Vozdik by knockout earlier, before Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury took place, which actually sent Adonis Stevenson to the hospital, unfortunately. He was put in a medically induced coma, which is a method done to make the swelling of the brain go down. But since then, he's been upgraded from critical condition to a stable condition. And I do believe that he's undergoing surgery today. He either went through surgery today or yesterday. But prayers and thoughts out to the Stevenson family, as well as Adonis Stevenson. Thing is with Adonis Stevenson is I've been very vocal and very critical of his boxing career. Since he took the light heavyweight title, I believe he beat John Pascal. But since he became the lightweight champion, I thought a star was born, and was kind of disappointed in the way things transpired from that point forward. Pretty much just facing lower level guys that was blatantly obvious that he had no business being in the ring with Adonis Stevenson, and failing to make those matchups against guys like Andre Ward or against guys like Sergey Kovalev in their prime. Been very, very vocal and critical of Adonis Stevenson for that. But do want to extend my thoughts and prayers out to the Stevenson family. Hope he can come back from this. Hope he makes a speedy recovery and gets home to his family and loved ones. In other news, Gennady Golovkin, Triple G, met with Al Haymon this past weekend to talk a TV deal, since HBO Boxing has folded. So HBO is no more, obviously. I've gone through that in past episodes. He's looking for a TV deal. Thought he was going to go with DAZN and join Canelo as a stablemate, but it looks like that he's in talks with Premier Boxing Champions and Al Haymon and company, which is another viable option as well, with PBC having their own respectable roster of fighters under that banner. So we'll see where Triple G goes on from there. If he finalizes things with DAZN, or if he finalizes things with Showtime, or if he finalizes things with PBC. That remains to be seen. Terrence Crawford versus Amir Khan is actually on the verge of taking place. This kind of popped out of nowhere, since Terrence Crawford was set to fight Luis Collazo, which wasn't very an appealing fight in my opinion. Amir Khan is definitely a step up from Luis Collazo. Don't get me wrong, Luis Collazo has been there and he's done that in the boxing industry, but I don't think that he's the matchup right now for Terrence Crawford, since I think Luis Collazo is a little bit past his prime, and is in a significantly lower level compared to a pound-for-pound guy like Terrence Crawford. So Amir Khan, in my opinion, is also past his prime also, but it's definitely a step up from Luis Collazo. So we'll see if that fight gets finalized. And it's currently being put together by Top Rank, but you know, we'll see what happens with that, because if that fight's being made, that's going to further postpone Errol Spence Jr., versus Terrence Crawford even further. But I wouldn't necessarily call Amir Khan a tune-up fight either. I think it's definitely a tough challenge for Crawford, due to the hand speed that Amir Khan possesses, being a crafty veteran inside the ring itself. So definitely going to have to see if that fight plays out or if it falls through. Who knows? Let's go ahead and preview fights for this weekend. Pretty big fight calendar as far as the weekend is concerned. We got pound-for-pound king Vasily Lomachenko taking on Jose Pedraza live from Madison Square Garden in New York City. We're also going to preview UFC, what is that, 231? Yeah, that's the number. We're going to preview UFC 231 with two big fights on that main card. Let's move on to MMA. UFC cards did take place this past weekend. Kamaru Usman did defeat Rafael Dos Anjos in dominating fashion, which should shoot him up in the welterweight rankings. A very, very dominant win for Kamaru Usman. So as for Usman, he's definitely making the case for a high-profile fight, which could even be for the title. So he could be next in line to fight Tyron Woodley if he wanted to, or if the UFC sees fit. The only knock on Usman is his wins that have taken place in the UFC have mostly been by decision. But they've been impressive, especially with this one against Rafael Dos Anjos, who's a former world champion himself, just completely dominated him. But he could be next in line for Tyron Woodley, or they might bypass that and have him go through Kobe Covington. That was on last Friday's card. Another UFC fight night took place the same night as Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. We had Junior Dos Santos finish Taya Tuivasa in Australia last Saturday, and which was a fairly fun main event. After he knocked out Taya Tuivasa in the second round, he did call out Alistair Overeem for a rematch, since in their first fight together, Alistair Overeem knocked out Junior Dos Santos. So that's one that Junior Dos Santos definitely wants to avenge in the future. It's a fight that makes sense to be made, since both guys are coming off wins. Junior Dos Santos coming off a win against Taya Tuivasa, and then Alistair Overeem coming off a win by knockout just this past 2 weekends ago, actually. So you got to strike while the iron's hot. Heavyweight is the only division where I feel you can make a major comeback. It seems like it's a lot more difficult in the lighter weight classes. In heavyweight, it seems like you could just knock somebody out, then have another knockout and be in line for a title shot, which is kind of special in that regard, because we did see Alistair Overeem kind of make a comeback by knocking out JDS and eventually fighting Stipe Miocic for the title. Unfortunately, it didn't go his way, but heavyweight is definitely another opportunity to make things happen, to be in line for a title shot. Let's see here. What other news do we have? Oh, yeah. Sage Northcutt left the UFC. I believe he did fulfill his contract with the UFC and has signed a deal with ONE Championship, and definitely has a chance to showcase his talents in another viable, thriving organization like ONE Championship. A fight has yet to be made for Sage Northcutt, nor do we have an announcement of his debut. So no opponent, no date set for ONE Championship and Sage Northcutt for their first go-around. Michael Venom Page is officially taking on Paul Daly at the beginning of the year under the Bellator banner in Connecticut, live from the Mohegan Sun. This fight's one that's been, you know, this one's been in the books for to be made for quite some time now, within the past couple months. Disappointment in the fact that we're not seeing this take place in the UK. It's taking place in Connecticut, in the Mohegan Sun, of all places, where I feel Bellator has truly dropped the ball in getting these two guys in the UK in a grudge match with a fever, you know, a fever pitch crowd, a hot crowd being in there to root or cheer for either root and cheer for either guy or boo the other guy. I feel like Michael Venom Page is coming out into that fight as the clear favorite, and Paul Daly's coming in as the underdog. He possesses that one-punch power. That left hand that he has is very, very dangerous. And if he catches Michael Venom Page, and Michael Venom Page takes him lightly, which we've seen Michael Venom Page take opponents lightly in the past, he's going to be in for an absolutely rude awakening. Before previewing UFC 231, I want to go ahead and revisit Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury, because it's still fresh on my mind, and I know it's still fresh on other people's minds as well. And I'm going to explain and play a little devil's advocate on why I think the draw wasn't so bad, because I did have a chance to watch the fight again on Sunday night. And here's why the draw made sense to me. And shame on me, and maybe shame on other people as well, for being a prisoner of the moment, because I was. I felt that I was kind of buying into the commentators and their biases and what was going on as the fight transpired. But there's no right or wrong answer. I feel that, yes, on rounds 9 and 12, Deontay Wilder scored the two knockdowns, the devastating one in round 12 where we thought that Tyson Fury wasn't going to get up, right? So those are 10-8 rounds. There were a couple of rounds that you could make the case Deontay Wilder won, but they were definitely close. I originally said in the podcast episode with my brother when we broke down the fight originally that I had Tyson Fury kind of dealing a shutout, and I kind of want to retract those statements. I don't think that he dealt a shutout. I thought that there were definitely rounds that you could make the case that Deontay Wilder won. While I do say this, I still think he got outboxed by Tyson Fury, but that doesn't equate to Tyson Fury winning rounds over Deontay Wilder. So if we're doing the math, and this is why I got to start scoring fights again from now on. I got to start scoring fights again, because we get into situations like this where I have to explain myself, but I have no scorecard to go off of. You know, I could definitely watch the fight again a third time and score the fight, but I think we're way too past that now. But you could definitely make the case for some rounds going and swaying towards Deontay Wilder, which could have led in a draw, you know, especially with those two 10-8 rounds. And the 10 count, I'm going to address the 10 count as well, because I've heard from different people, I've read on Twitter, I've read on Instagram, that the 10 count was not just, and I've read other places on Twitter and Instagram that the 10 count was just. And I've looked at Big John McCarthy's Twitter page, and Big John McCarthy actually had something to say about the 10 count itself. And if you guys don't know Big John McCarthy, he's a highly respected, reputable referee who's done plenty of fights on a big scale for the UFC and other MMA organizations. But he did want to clear the air on the 10 count from the Tyson Fury-Deontay Wilder fight. So here's what he had to say on Twitter. So I guess Big John's pretty much just explaining the mechanics of a knockdown. So I'm reading this verbatim to you. So it says here, you need to understand the mechanics for a knockdown, which is as soon as the referee calls the fighter down, the timekeeper starts a count. So as soon as Tyson Fury was down, the timekeeper started to count. Let's go back to the tweet. The referee moves the standing fighter away towards a neutral corner and then picks up the count from where the timekeeper was at. We will say around 3 or 4. The referee then continues his count up to 10 if the fighter is still down. It is a 10 count, not 10 seconds of time. The referee was perfect in this situation. Hope this helps. It was a great fight, wasn't it? So that was from Big John McCarthy's Twitter page. I'm not sure if there's going to be people out there who agree with that or not. I could definitely see it both ways. Why not have it be a 10 second countdown from when the fighter first hit the ground? Wouldn't it make sense to be that way? Or from where the timekeeper starts the count? I mean, that doesn't really make any sense to me. If Big John McCarthy was kind of concrete and clear in his explanation on that particular 10 count, but I particularly don't know. I've seen other instances where people have debunked the 10 count and said that Tyson Fury did get up on time and referee Jack Reese did operate himself within a reasonable level. But I really don't know. I mean, I'm not an expert, or you'd actually have to talk to another referee in that case, because it seems to me that this is a little bit subjective as far as the 10 count is concerned, if we're talking the 10 count. But let's move away from that. That's kind of the other things I wanted to address as far as Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. But I want to get on to the big picture here, which is this upcoming weekend, we got a big UFC card coming up for the UFC Featherweight Championship. So UFC 231, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a fun card. looking over the prelims, looking over the main card. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. A lot of fireworks. I'm predicting some knockouts to go ahead and take place there. The prelims look good. Claudia Gadelha is fighting Nina Ansaroff, who's currently on a 3-fight win streak. Jessica Eye's in there. She's fighting Caitlin Kukagian, who's also on a 3-fight win streak herself. And I believe she's about number 2 or number 3 in the UFC women's flyweight rankings. Elias Theodoro is in the prelims, but we always see him in the prelims. He seems to be in that stage of his career where he's a perennial prelim guy. Main card is going to kick off with some fireworks. We got Jimmy Manuel versus Thiago Santos. I predict a KO. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'm predicting a KO. And Thiago Santos, coming off a TKO victory, whereas Jimmy Manuel has lost about, what, 2 of his last 3 fights? So I'm predicting a knockout there. Two guys possess tons and tons of power. And we also got Cowboy Alex Oliveira on the card. So he's currently riding a 2-fight win streak, with one of those wins being a submission victory over Carlos Condit. And he'll be fighting Gunnar Nelson, who's also one of the toughest guys in the UFC. He's coming back after a long layoff due to injuries with his knee. So that should definitely be a fun one. And Gunnar Nelson is always one of those fun guys to watch because of the punishment he could dish out as well as the punishment that he can take. So those are the first couple fights in the main card that I'm looking forward to. And then we're going to go over to Valentina Shevchenko versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk for the women's flyweight belt. You know, quite the storyline with this co-main event between Joanna and Valentina, since it's for the vacant women's flyweight belt that was vacated by Nico Montano, a couple months ago, just last September? Yeah, just a couple months ago. Because she was hospitalized due to some weight cutting complications. So Nico Montano had to forfeit the belt, and now Joanna and Valentina are returning to flyweight to contend for it. Joanna makes a return to flyweight after her stint in strawweight for the last 4 years or so. I believe Valentina made her flyweight return last year. So this is going to be your second fight at flyweight. And these two ladies are kind of rekindling a storied past. And in my opinion, this is absolute destiny for these two girls to meet each other once again, because they fought in the amateur ranks in the Muay Thai circuit. So if you guys didn't know before, they did fight in amateur Muay Thai fights before heading into the UFC. And they're here at this scale with a fight of this importance with high stakes. On a side note, Valentina did win all 3 of their meetings back when they were fighting Muay Thai before. And I feel that it's an edge going into this fight. And my prediction is I have Shevchenko taking the belt. I feel like she's going to be the next flyweight champion. And I'm going to explain why. I think she's a better grappler. You know, she's a decorated judo practitioner. She's less emotional. I feel that when Joanna fights emotional, like what she kind of did against Rose, I felt that she was prone to the counter. And Shevchenko's an elite counterpuncher, just a little bit more well-rounded. And with those wins that she did have over Joanna back in the Muay Thai days, I feel that does place some importance and it plays a factor going into this Saturday's fight. And I think Valentina Shevchenko wins in that regard. And now we're going to go and talk about the main event. So the main event, if you guys don't know, is Brian Ortega challenging Max Holloway for the undisputed UFC featherweight championship in a match that we've all been anticipating, quite frankly, because this was supposed to take place in UFC 226, but has been postponed because Holloway was having concussion symptoms at the time. And it's one of the fights I've been waiting for all year. I'm going to go ahead and explain that as well. Both are young guys. Ortega's undefeated and is showing a proof stand-up. And I'm going to mention the Frankie Edgar fight because I was counting Brian Ortega out against Frankie Edgar. I thought Frankie Edgar was going to contend again for the featherweight belt, maybe have another fight against Aldo, but Frankie Edgar got finished by Brian Ortega in a completely different Brian Ortega than that we've been accustomed to in fights past. And I think Ortega in that regard can pose more of a threat on the feet, and with his new and improved stand-up can set up takedowns with his improved striking. We're talking level changes here. So if he were to close a distance, and if he were to show some new and improved hands, he could quickly go down for a takedown, for a single leg or a double leg, and take Max Holloway down. But I'm not counting Max Holloway out in regards to takedown defense as well, because he's one of the best fighters in the UFC at takedown defense. You can't really take that guy down. He manages to keep the fight on the feet. And both guys have a very impressive resume as far as fighting Frankie Edgar and being the first guy to finish him. Brian Ortega has that under his belt. He has that under his resume. And then we got 2 wins from Max Holloway against quite arguably the best featherweight of all time in Jose Aldo. So both guys are coming into this fight with tons of confidence. Holloway has the ability to hold his own as far as the grappling department is concerned. But I think it's another level when we're talking Brian Ortega here. I don't think he's anywhere near the skill of grappling that Brian Ortega is at currently. Granted, Ortega is a highly decorated Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner, and that's why his grappling's at a different level, but we'll see if Brian Ortega can take down Max Holloway. Yeah, so his takedown defense is at an extremely high level. You know, I've never really counted Max Holloway out of a fight since he lost to Conor McGregor. Losing to Conor McGregor was a learning experience, and I've always picked him to be the favorite from that point forward in all his fights. And you could even make the case for this one. Ortega I've counted out on numerous occasions. I've counted him out against his fight against Frankie Edgar and even the ones before that, but he's been able to prove me wrong since then. He made me a believer once he finished Frankie Edgar. But I think the key for Holloway, he needs to dictate the pace of the fight. Both guys have cardio, so it's going to be a little bit more difficult to do that, but I think Holloway needs to establish a rhythm and push the pace. He can't have Ortega establish a rhythm of his own. He needs to use his aggressiveness to his advantage, his reach to his advantage. Along with that, he has experience to take away from previous fights. He's been there. He's done that. He's been on the grandest stage. He's fought the best guys. So he has that as an advantage over Brian Ortega. This is a high-profile fight for Brian Ortega, and you could easily say that it's his first one. Frankie Edgar, when he fought Frankie Edgar, that wasn't on pay-per-view. I believe that was a free card on FS1. That's going to definitely play a factor with nerves and coming into the octagon with the amount of experience that you have compared to what the amount of experience that Max Holloway has. But if I were to predict the fight, it's going to be difficult because they both have cardio. Both guys have an extreme high amount of confidence, which makes it very, very difficult to predict. But I'm going to go ahead and take a risk, and I'm going to go with Brian Ortega with a victory. And I truly think that he put in some work in this camp, in this training camp leading up to this Saturday's fight, learned some new things, and has improved his striking from what we already thought was improved striking when he fought Frankie Edgar the first go-around. I know Holloway has been there on a grand stage, and he's in his prime, but I think Ortega has what it takes to win it this weekend. And this has potential to be a fight we see more than once. I think it becomes a classic trilogy, if you were to ask me. I think they have a trilogy of some sort, no matter who wins this Saturday, and no matter what fashion. If it's an early finish, or if it goes to a 5-round decision, this has makings to be an epic trilogy for the UFC. And it's going to be a matchup for the UFC to draw money on, maybe for the next 2 years or so. Who knows? But I think that Brian Ortega is just a little bit more well-rounded. But if he can take Max Holloway down to the ground, Max Holloway's in big trouble, and I definitely have the advantage to Brian Ortega. But if Max Holloway is able to use his takedown defense, his effective takedown defense, which we've seen him use in the past, he'll be just fine and he comes out with a win. But I do see this fight taking place in the ground at some point. But I do see them squaring off more than one time. And I hope I'm right. I'm banking on this to be a late fight of the year contender. You know, I'll be tuning in for sure. I want to make sure you do as well. It'll be this Saturday live from Toronto, Ontario, Canada on pay-per-view. Pretty fun card. Don't miss out. It'll be fireworks, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you that much. It'll be fireworks. Absolute fireworks. I predict tons and tons of finishes here. If not, it's two people opposite of the octagon from each other trading blows and with either one going down. Also want to give you guys a reminder that Vasily Lomachenko is fighting this weekend once again against Puerto Rico's own Jose Pedraza live on ESPN. So once again, if you want to see some more high-level boxing, be sure to tune into that also. I don't really have a fight of the week. I haven't had a fight of the week for the last couple episodes, I want to say. But if I were to give you guys a fight of the week, go ahead and watch Deontay Wilder Tyson Fury. Simple enough. Go watch that fight. Because it's still buzzing. I still hear people talk about it to this day, even though we're like 4 or 5 days removed from last Saturday night. So be sure to watch that fight. It should be easy to find somewhere on Google. Just Google Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury full fight video. Lots of action. Contrasting styles, charismatic guys are both great on the mic, and they're heavyweights. What more can you ask for? So if you missed out on last Saturday's fight, go ahead and watch it and see what the controversy was all about. But that does it for this week. Once again, want to give a shout out to those who've been listening since episode 1 all the way up to today's episode, which is episode 20. If you guys don't know where to find the Championship Rounds is available on the Apple Podcasts app. You can subscribe, and once you subscribe, the episodes will automatically download. If you don't have Apple Podcasts and you have Spotify, be sure to give me a follow on Spotify and download each episode going forward from there. If you don't have either app, and or if you're having difficulty trying to access the Championship Rounds on either app, you could download the brand new Pocket Casts app. I did try out the app for myself. I downloaded it to see what the interface was looking like, and it's pretty smooth. It's very user-friendly and very polished and clean. So be sure to download Pocket Casts if you don't have Apple or Spotify. We'll be back next week. We'll go ahead and break down UFC 231, see what happened and what transpired with Brian Ortega and Max Holloway. We'll see if Max Holloway is still the UFC featherweight champion or if we see a brand new UFC featherweight champion in Brian Ortega. But yeah, it's going to be this Saturday night, live on pay-per-view. Order it, split it with somebody, go two ways, go three ways, go four ways on the pay-per-view cost. Or if you could find a nice, buttery, crispy stream on Reddit, go ahead and watch it that way also. I'll be tuning in. I'm not going to tell you how, but I'll be tuning in no matter what to watch that fight. I'm banking on this being a Fight of the Year candidate, a very, very late Fight of the Year candidate, unless there's other cards that take place where there's absolute chaos going on in the ring or cage. And we still got a couple weeks left in 2018 to see if that is the case. But I want to thank you guys for tuning in to last week's episode with Marco Mayo and I, my big brother, breaking down Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. And I want to thank you for tuning in to the Championship Rounds and giving me your undying support. And that's it, guys. I truly appreciate it. Have a great weekend, and have a safe rest of your holidays. Thank you.